Please join me in praying the prayer of the day together as printed in your bulletin. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading this morning is from Proverbs 8, verses 1 through 4 and 122 through 31. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, when he had not yet made earth and friends and fields or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighted in the human race." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Psalm 8 is printed in your booklet. O Lord, our sovereign, how majesty is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have found the bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger.
When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established,
what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them?
Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet.
All sheep and oxen and all the beasts of the field,
the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas.
O Lord, our sovereign, how majesty is your name in all the earth. The second reading today is from Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And now only that, but also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand as you're able for the singing of the gospel verse and the reading of the gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The gospel from John chapter 16, beginning with verse 12. And Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare whatever he hears, and declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Inviting any children or youth to come forward for the children's message. Who would like to come forward? Hi, Adeline. You and I get a lot of cookies today. Have you ever gotten lost? Sometimes in the middle of the night when I get up and I'm in a different house, a different place, I get confused of where I'm at, and I get a little lost until I get my bearings and figure out where I'm at. This last week I was in Minnesota, and I was thinking about being guided and thinking about being lost. I was going from Petersburg with one stop without a stoplight in town to four or five lanes of traffic going in each direction. And I needed the compass or a map on the phone to figure out where I was going so I wouldn't get lost. I needed a guide. I also went shopping at a place called Mall of America, which some of you may have been to, a little bit bigger than downtown Petersburg. And they say it has about 2,500,000 square feet of retail space. We were parking our vehicle, and I realized there's around 12,500 parking spots here. It would be good to remember what door we went in so we could get back out to the car. It was important to be guided. And today, the gospel message is talking about the Holy Spirit being the guide who's going to guide us into all the truth. And thinking about the different ways that the Holy Spirit guides us, whether that's through reading the Bible, through scripture, through coming to worship, through singing praises, through praying to God, lots of different ways that we hear about God being the Holy Spirit who guides us into all the truth and is always with us. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for being our God, for coming to us, for leading us through the Holy Spirit into all truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And the shape for our cookie this morning is a triangle because we're talking about the Holy Trinity Sunday and how God comes to us as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So that's our shape this morning. Invite the congregation to sing hymn number 689, Praise and Thanksgiving.
Praise and Thanksgiving, God will we offer for all things living we have begun. Harvest the sow fields, fruits of the orchard, hay from the mown fields, blossom and God bless the labor we bring to serve you, that with our neighbor we may be fed. So in our tilling we would work with you, harvesting to share one with another, so that rejoicing with us all others may know your care. And will your blessing reach every people, freely confessing your
grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Are we alone in the universe? That question was posed a while back to Stephen Hawking, the late British theoretical physicist, in an interview on National Public Radio. Hawking reflected, "In a universe with 100 billion galaxies, each containing hundreds of millions of stars, it's unlikely that Earth is the only place where life has evolved. To my mathematical brain," he said, "the numbers alone make thinking about aliens perfectly rational." On the cover of the March 2019 National Geographic magazine, the title is, "We're Not Alone," against a backdrop of thousands of stars in the Milky Way galaxy. The subtitle is, "We're Not Alone," and it says, "Scientists say there must be other life in the universe." The article goes into deeper detail about super-sensitive telescopes that scan the sky for radio signals. We are a restless species. Columbus set sail for a new world. We set foot on the moon. In our wanderlust today, we send probes to explore the far reaches of the solar system. We build huge antennas to listen for signs of life hundreds of light years away. We broadcast messages to planets and stars. But is anybody out there listening? For some, it's hard to believe that we can't possibly be the only ones in this vast universe. We can't possibly be that important, can we? In Psalm 8 for today, the psalmist isn't contemplating life on other stars. Yet theologian James Lindbergh has described Psalm 8 as a psalm for stargazers. It is, but I think it's also a psalm for soul searchers. As Thomas Merton said, "One has to be alone under the sky before everything falls into place and one finds one's place in the midst of it all." Many people have had a transformative experience with nature at some point in their life, an experience of being on a mountaintop or a rainbow or watching the northern lights, to which the natural response is simply, "Oh my," or "Praise God." I think that's what the psalmist experienced He or she is keenly aware of God's presence. He doesn't wonder whether humanity is alone. She wonders instead about how the God who created the heavens and the earth and set the stars in their courses could have any regard for mere human beings. What the psalm writer finds so amazing is that the very God who established the order of the heavens actually cares for human beings, for us, for me, for you. From verse 4, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them?" If one were to scale down the size of the solar system so that the sun was the size of a tennis ball, the earth would be the size of a grain of sand about 27 feet away. The next nearest star to the sun would be more than 1,400 miles away. The Milky Way itself is 100,000 light years across, and it's only one of billions of galaxies. The psalmist declares that humanity has been made little lower than God and crowned with glory and honor. Humanity, you are the crown jewel of God's creation. Sometimes people confuse being unworthy of God's love with thinking that God thinks that we're unimportant or even worthless. That is never the case. A pastor I knew had a sign on his door that read, "You're a precious child of God. Believe it, because God don't make no junk." Your life has eternal significance and is the one for whom the Son of God died and rose. God thinks so highly of humanity, of you and me, that we're given dominion over the rest of the works of God's hands. "You've put all things under their feet," the psalmist says, "all sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field and of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea." These animals are the same ones listed in Psalm 148 as those called to praise God. Wild and domestic animals, sea creatures, birds, all are exhorted to sing hallelujah, along with the sun and the moon and the stars, the hills, the fruit trees, the people of every age. In essence, our job is to care for creation and to praise the Creator. But the psalmist lived a long time ago, you may say. Fred Geiser writes, and I quote, "We live in a different world from the psalmist. When the singers of the psalm looked at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you've established, they saw not the many stars and galaxies light years away that we know from our science classes and planetariums and telescopes, but rather the stars and the moon were first perceived as fixed points on a half-dome sky, surrounding an earth that was the center of the universe, indeed that was the universe at that time. Yet even so, they were overwhelmed by the grandeur." Unquote. We don't know if there are other forms of life on other planets. I wonder if it would change your faith if there was. What if they know of God as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ? What if they understood God to be revealed in some other form? What came to my mind was when the Apostle Paul visited the people in Athens and saw that the city was full of idols. Paul stood in front of the people of Athens and acknowledged how religious the people were, told them that one of the idols he saw had a name that said, "To an unknown God." Then Paul continued from Acts chapter 17, verse 23. "What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, He who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth. He allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of their places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being." Acts 17:23 to 28. Some say the question of our age is, "Who am I?" or "Am I alone?" The question could be answered at least in part by saying that we're surrounded by the gracious works of God in this vast universe, and surrounded by God's people. It's a good and safe place to be. We're not left to our own devices to figure out who we are, but we've been given a place in relationship to God and to the world and to God's people, a place where your identity is given to you by the Creator of the universe in the waters of baptism. For the psalmist, human beings are not insignificant. They are but little lower than God and crowned with glory and honor. We bear God's image or God's face in the world. How we care for creation reflects on the character of God, because we are God's caretakers. In all honesty, that can be a scary thought. If we're the caretakers, the implications are enormous. It would have implications for how we care for the plants and animals, how we tend and fertilize the land, how we care for the oceans, food production, harvesting, distribution, consumption, even how medical care is distributed to our fellow creatures. Ralph Jacobson writes, I quote, "God has called human beings to share in God's creative work by taking responsibility to care for God's creation. What more meaningful way is there to communicate that someone matters than to tell them, you matter because what you do in life matters? God is calling human beings, you and me, to participate in God's work of ordering, shaping, stewarding, and caring for life on the planet Earth." Unquote. We rejoice in the gift of creation. We pray for humility as we participate in exercising our godlike power over the earth. We do have power, but godlike power will abuse nothing. Creation doesn't belong to us, but to God. We care for it as a sacred trust. Humanity is given dominion over the works of God's hands. The psalmist writes, "You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field and of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth." God may hold the whole world in God's hands, but God has entrusted everything under our feet to our care. We matter. God has given us meaningful work to do. May God bless our efforts. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able as we sing our sermon hymn, "How Great Thou Art," 856.
My soul, my Savior, God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art, how great thou art.
When Christ shall go with thoughts of acclamation
and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart?
Then I shall bow in humble eyes.